mistakes. Great David has a wonderful statement about mistakes, which takes a little reflection. Problems are not problems. They are a repetition of the past that needs to be adjusted. Problems are not problems. They are a repetition of the past that needs to be adjusted. So what does that mean? A problem is not a problem. It means when someone makes a mistake, we think, oh, they shouldn't have made the mistake. Or when we make a mistake, we think, oh, we shouldn't have done that. We think somehow it shouldn't have happened. It's wrong that it happened. It would be better if it never happened. Right? Isn't that our natural response when something goes wrong, when there's a problem, when a child makes a mistake? We wish the child had never made the mistake. But Gurudev is not looking at it that way. He's saying, don't look at it that way. Don't think of it as a negative event. It just shows something needs to be adjusted. Problems are not problems. They are repetition of the past that needs to be adjusted. So something needs to be adjusted. What is that something? Our understanding, our knowledge, our wisdom needs to be adjusted. In other words, we keep making the same mistakes. We keep doing the same things because we're not increasing our understanding about what we're doing. So, for example, you're a father with an 18-year-old son, and your son neglects to look both ways at a stop sign, pulls out, and another car runs into his car. How do you react? Do you get angry and ground him for a year? How stupid. How could you be so stupid? You are the most stupid driver, you know. What do we do? What's the goal? Well, he obviously wasn't careful enough, right? So we don't want him to repeat that again. So we need to talk to the young man, try and have him understand why it happened, and change his understanding. Realize the importance of looking both ways at a stop sign. Obviously, he does not realize that importance. Doesn't realize that if you don't do that every single time, there might come along a car on the time you don't do it, and you could have a serious accident. He doesn't realize how important it is to look both ways. So if you can convince him of the importance of looking both ways, he'll never have that same accident again, right? It just will never happen. So that's adjusting. Then it disappears. The problem will not come back. But if that isn't addressed, you just blame him, ground him, he may do it again because he hasn't changed his understanding about how to drive. So any problem is like that. Behavior keeps repeating itself because we don't change our understanding about the behavior. So if we can improve our understanding, sometimes it requires help, like if we're a child, it requires the help of our parents, or an adult, we can use the help of an elder or a parent even, or a swami. Sometimes we need help to understand because we're so attached to it, we kind of get caught up in the emotion. Say, oh, I did something wrong, this is terrible. We're not taking the time to figure out how do I need to improve my understanding of what I did so I don't repeat it. So, a long-winded way of saying the idea is to teach children to not repeat a mistake. Nothing wrong with making a mistake. But what's the point of doing it twice? What's the point of doing it three times, you know? What's the point of doing it our whole lifetime? Let's talk about this. Let's try and figure out, why did this happen? Maybe we forgot to teach them something. There's a famous example in the book, I think, about spilling milk. A young child, very young child, keeps spilling the milk. Why does the child spill the milk? Because the child is clumsy? No, because we never taught the child how to drink milk right. You know, we didn't do our part. So it sometimes boils down to that the mistakes are caused by no one teaching us how to do something properly. So the whole idea of blaming someone and that mistakes are bad doesn't help. You know, mistakes keep reoccurring because we don't change our understanding. We don't deepen our understanding of something. So if we can look at mistakes like that and teach children, okay, mistakes are fine. It's fine to make a mistake, but there's no reason to make it twice. If we can teach them that when they're young, then when they're older, they'll think that way on their own. Something wrong happens, they won't get upset, they won't get depressed, they won't blame themselves and say, well, that surely was stupid. What do I need to do to not repeat that again? Now that's the goal. Self-correcting mechanism. Sopis are here. Om Namah Shivaya. So that gives you a preview of the talk. And as I say, I'm going to spend some time and get some input from all of you over the next few months. So here's some topics you can see. Start thinking about that are going to be included. Conflict resolution. How do we resolve a conflict? Does the strongest person win? Does the loudest person win? Does the smartest person win? Does everybody win? So, obviously, we want everyone to win. So, conflict resolution by discussions seeking a win-win option versus violence or dominance. Tolerance. Raising children without placing in their minds racial, bigoted remarks. Or if they pick them up from others, taking them out of their minds so they grow up to be tolerant of others. Inclusiveness. Inclusiveness is a wonderful concept, and I'm hoping to develop some practical suggestions. In other words, we have the beautiful statement which Gurudeva helped develop, one island, many peoples, all Kauaians. That's an example of inclusiveness. But what do you do? How do you cultivate inclusiveness? That doesn't give us a clue. How can I raise a child to think inclusive, to bring in others who are different and help them just like someone who's the same? Now, how can we be inclusive? So there was a wonderful example of inclusiveness in Aloha Spirit that came to us recently from the Nathan Shankar family, who have made friends with Cedric. Cedric is Ramos runs the heavy equipment. You know, he moved the dirt from Yerevan Temple and made Murugan Hill. And so he and Nathan became friends in Kaloa. And recently, just a few days ago, Nathan and his family went to India for 6 weeks. Is it? They're gone 6 weeks, something like that. And so Cedric is taking care of their house and making sure the fridge doesn't get smelly and the car battery is turned on, and drove them to the airport. You know, they've only been on the island a few months. And his comment was, you know, I lived in California for 6 years and no one ever drove me to the airport. So inclusiveness. You know, it's a way of life on Kauai, or Aloha Spirit. Definitely, it's present. But how do you cultivate it? You know, how do you teach children to develop that spirit? So that's the question. You know, it's a wonderful attitude. And the idea of treating neighbors as family is one way of saying it. Aloha is treating your neighbors as if they were part of your family. Discipline, of course, discipline is one of the most crucial issues, and ideas such as non-emotional versus emotional, avoiding punishment without teaching, and avoiding punishments that are excessive. Family unity is very important because there's not enough, what would you say? The trend is for families to become more and more isolated from support communities. Go back a ways, and families used to live surrounded by relatives or, you know, close community. And so there was a support group there, a large group. But the trend is more and more for families to be isolated. So consequently, when children grow up, they've got their mother and father. They don't have a support family. So actions which bind families together, like hugging your children. You know, hugging your children binds you together. How many families hug their children enough? Gurudeva hugged us. We're monks. He thought it was important enough to hug us. You know, we said, great, Gurudeva, we'll hug you back, you know. So hugging is important, and it's overlooked. But it's an important principle that binds a family together, so that in difficult times, the children don't run away. They run to their parents because they feel close to them. Because the parents have bound their children to them with love. Binding through common interests. Gurudeva was always an expert in establishing a friendship by finding out what the other person was interested in and then talking about it. And that way, you build up a rapport with anyone, absolutely anyone. So having common interests and discussing those interests helps bind people together. And of course, last but not least, character building. And a very important part of parenting, being a guru. And the yamas and the niyamas are a very natural point of focus there, so that's an obvious one. You know, just particularly the yamas, as you recall, the restraints, starting with nonviolence and truthfulness and so forth. And they're there to, because we have instinctive tendencies to do the opposite. In other words, we all have an instinctive nature. It's part of being human. We have an instinctive nature, an intellectual nature, and a spiritual nature. We have three natures. So instinctive nature comes along with having a physical body. If you don't want to have an instinctive nature, you can't have a physical body. If you want to live on Earth, you have to have an instinctive nature. So instinctive nature, of course, is selfish, tends to get violent, lies, and so forth. So we have that tendency in us. And so children have that tendency in them. So if children hurt each other or don't tell the truth, it's not that they're bad children. It's that they're expressing the instinctive nature, which we all have. So it's not bad to have one. It's just ideal to learn to control it. So the yamas give us a nice checkoff list. You know, okay, what are the points I need to keep in mind here in raising a child? What are the major tendencies that need to be harnessed? So, of course, the first one and the foremost is tendency to be violent, to harm others. And, of course, it doesn't have to just be hitting someone with your fist. It's quite often it's words. We speak harm. We speak words that hurt another person, and we do it on purpose. Of course, that's the instinctive nature that needs to be controlled. So that's a wonderful check-off list, you know, in raising children, is just to review that now and then, and see, make sure that the child understands not to do these things and has been raised in a way which helps harness those tendencies.